three significant points. I was amazed how little they really knew about how successful the FBI has been in penetrating the Communist Party. At that point, from talking to all these people, and also people up on the Hill in the Congress, I found that nobody could afford to take any action or in any way criticize Mr. Hoover or the FBI for in any of these areas, because it would be political suicide for them to do so.
What do you do then?
Well, at that point, I put that in quotes. I talked to a number of different people on various newspapers and some columnists.
Did you name names?
Yeah, I had. I went to the New York Times.
Who'd you speak to over there?
I spoke to James Reston and Anthony Lewis. I went to the Washington Post. And I spoke to their city editor, Sir Seymour Fishbein, and to their editor, a man by the name of Mr. Wiggins, J.W.
Russell Wiggins.
Yes.
He's the publisher, I believe, and a managing editor.
I think he's the managing editor. He might be the publisher. I'm not quite certain what his title is. I also spoke to Mr. Al Davis on the New York Post, and to Milt Fiorst, the New York Post's Washington bureau man.
Anybody at the Associated Press?
Yes, I spoke to the Associated Press's representative in the Justice, who covers the Justice Department, and I can't recall his name, but I discussed this with him, and I also discussed this with Tom Ross of the Chicago Sun-Times, and also with Worth Bingham of the Louisville Courier-Journal.
What was their attitude towards this?
Well, their attitude was that they were kind of leery of you know, printing anything about the FBI unless you had, you know, documentary evidence of some of these things. But this, of course, is very difficult, you know, to obtain, because the FBI of course does not, you know, put these things in writing.
Did they say why they needed documentary evidence? I mean, was it from a point of view of libel or slander, or was it a question of their feeling that as journalists they had some particular obligation to the federal government, or did they give any reason aside from the fact that they were leery of this because you didn't have documentary evidence? I mean, you do have a form of document. You quote agents, and you even quote their names in the appendix in the back.
Yes. And if an impartial investigation was conducted, I'm sure that all these facts can be verified, and probably many other things as well. But these members of the press, in view of the FBI's strong image, they felt that to do a news article that would be critical of the FBI would certainly raise a tremendous furor, and unless they had documentary evidence, absolute proof of some of these things that we've been discussing, they'd find it very difficult to back up.
Recently,
and this is what they were concerned with.
Recently, the press has carried a great deal of information on price fixing of major, respectable American firms, and of course, a large amount of reporting on large labor unions. I just wonder, in terms of their criticism of other American institutions, some of them very respected. Why, if that can be considered a complete explanation of their hesitancy of dealing with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. For example, the press has been very critical of the State Department of... even, I might add, of the Justice Department in terms of its dealings with certain situations in the South at times. And yet...
Yes, I think I would attribute this to a number of different factors. For one thing, the majority of the public is under the impression, or has through the years has gotten a projection of the image which J. Edgar Hoover has built for himself and for the FBI, and I think that the imposing nature of the sacrosanct institution which the FBI is, I think, has an element of intimidation in there, in that criticizing Mr. Hoover it has become almost tantamount to being a traitor. And this is something which I'm sure newspaper publishers and editors would like to avoid, getting this stigma. Also, there's also the point of the problem of the effect that this would have on advertisers. Another thing, I think that many people are afraid, many individuals, are individual reporters and individual newspaper men, are afraid of recriminations by Mr. Hoover in terms of investigations being conducted into their past life or...
Were you told this by any of these newspaper men? Can you recall, I don't mean to be testy, but can you recall any of the exact quotes that these people said to you when they...
Yes,
reject your material?
I'll tell you a very interesting experience I had with Mr. Jack Anderson, who was an aide to Drew Pearson.
Yes.
All along around 19... 1950, Mr. Anderson was relating to me an experience that he had in this regard.
He was relating to this to you in 1950?
No, he was relating to this to me just several months ago in Washington about an experience that he and Mr. Pearson had back about 10, 11, 12 years ago. They had printed something in their column about someone. I wasn't too clear on just exactly what was said, but this apparently had offended Hoover in some way, and he soon found that the FBI was conducting an investigation into his personal background. And he had found out about this through a source that he had, and went down to the FBI to question them about it, and they emphatically denied that they were conducting any investigation into his background. Shortly after that, Mr. Anderson told me he had been able to obtain, through a friend of his in the FBI, a copy of his file. And he actually saw with his own eyes the fact that the FBI had done an extensive investigation into his personal life. And this is something which apparently the FBI is not above doing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I think this these things are widely known or suspected by a great number of people in Washington. And this is this also adds to some of the intimidating factors.
I was going to say, so at this point you had gone to the Justice Department, Civil Rights Commission, members of the executive staff, and to the press, and had been largely unable to make your material public.
Right.
Or to make it effective. At this point, did you have any other recourse?
Well, I'd considered writing a book. For this purpose, I'd been communicating with Bill Turner, an agent who's had 11 years of experience in the bureau and has had who's held several supervisory positions in various field offices, and I suggested to him that we get together and write a book, because I thought that we had quite a lot of interesting information to disclose, and I was informed by Bill Turner that he's already written a book on the FBI, and it's entitled, or he envisages that it'll be entitled, The FBI, The Hoover Myth. And at the present time, he's looking around for a publisher. And also, he's written an article on wiretapping activities in the FBI, of which he's one of the foremost specialists on. And I expect that this will also be published shortly. I suggested to Bill Turner that I might be of aid to him in New York here in finding a publisher, as he's living out on the West Coast now, and most of the publishing houses are located here in the East. So for this purpose, I stopped down and discussed the possibility of having this book published with several different people. And in the course of discussions with some of these publishers, it was suggested to me that I go ahead and write an article of my own.
And this is the article that's appeared in The Nation?
Yes, I wrote this article, and for The Nation, and it will be appearing on Monday, October 15th. And I think it's quite an interesting article. I expect that I hope that it will receive considerable attention.
Do you have one? This is an iffish question, and it might be the last question, unless you have something more
ask. Go ahead.
Do you suppose that if we broadcast this program, that we'll be investigated?
That's very difficult question to answer. I really don't know. I think that it's a thought that certainly should be considered.
I think that's fine. We can make quite a program out of it.
It's a great ending.
That's it.
And I mean that seriously.
I know it's a great ending. Well, now look,
to give the impression that everybody in the FBI is anti-Negro or anti-Semitic. Quite the contrary. I think that for the most part, I think the majority of the agents, don't have such prejudices as these. But I think that I have found considerable evidence that a great number of agents have these attitudes, and I think it's affected them in their official duties. There's one very interesting point about the FBI. Mr. Alex Rosen is an assistant director of the FBI in charge of the investigative division. Now, an assistant director is one of the top positions in the Bureau. But there's a very strange point about this. I've never found anybody in the Bureau who knows exactly what the investigative division does. And I've tried to get an appointment to talk to Mr. Rosen down in Washington about some of this stuff, and he has got a small little office in the back of the Justice Department, and apparently I've got a strong suspicion that he is more or less of just an honorary assistant director, just as these Negroes in the FBI are honorary agents. I think that I strongly suspect that he's an honorary assistant director and has been placed there merely to counteract any allegations that the FBI does not hire Jewish employees or that they have anti-Semitic attitudes. I think that if this is so, I think it's quite a clever stratagem on Mr. Hoover's part.